Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here, good to see everybody out, and man, I thank God for some joy in some people's hearts. That makes me happy. I don't like coming into church and feeling like everybody's sour and wore out and ain't got anything left for the Lord. We ought to come ready to give it to Him, shouldn't we? He deserves everything that we have, and so I appreciate people coming ready, looking for the Lord. All right, 1 John, book of 1 John. So I told y'all I wasn't going to try to get bogged down too much, but I'm not meant to, but I just can't help it sometimes, and it'll just be okay. But 1 John chapter 1, we're still in the first four verses here. And we'll just read them again. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so we've been talking the last few weeks about fellowship, and that is going to be the predominant theme of the rest of this book, the rest of this study. And so as we said last few weeks, you know, our fellowship is a calling. It's exclusive. It's a ministering fellowship. It ought to be a welcoming fellowship. It was a mystery. It's a blessing. It's spiritual, and for better, for worse. So I'm thankful that God allowed us to have fellowship with Him and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful that we can fellowship one with another. Right. And I appreciate that. But also what you notice here is we come to verse 4, which is where we're at. He says, or back in verse 3, he says that we may have fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us. We see that invitation. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But then he adds to the purpose of the writing and says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so I find it interesting that right after he mentions fellowship, in the next verse he talks about joy. And what that tells me, Brother Jerry, is that those two go hand in hand.
That's right.
And I think we'll see that today. But he says that your joy may be full. So when I look up that word "may," John, what I find is that word "may" means it's possible. So everybody in here, when you read this scripture, you know what you find out? He's writing unto you that your joy may be full. And when he says that, he's saying there's a possibility for every reader that's reading this book to have full joy. That's a possibility that everybody in here has. Now, you may or may not have that, but he says you may. So don't ever think in this thing that you're limited on the amount of joy you can have. Now, we are vessels, right? And there comes a point of fullness, and you get saturated. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can be full. But as far as anything less than that, don't stop.
Right.
Don't stop there. So,
praise God.
So there's a purpose to this epistle. And what the writers are saying here is that we want exactly what Jesus wants for you. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, in John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So there's a difference. I looked up, I use the words "might" and "may" sometimes interchangeably, but that's not really the case and not what it meant here. But Brother Adam, when you look at "may" over in 1 John verse 4 there, it's talking about that there's a possibility of joy. But when you come down to John chapter 15 and what Jesus said, he said that your joy might be full. And when you look up that word "might," what you find is that's different than just a possibility. He says that you've been given the power to, or the liberty to. So you've got not just a possibility, but Christ has enabled us with might, with power, with the strength that's necessary that we can have the joy that we need for this thing.
Thank God.
So it's not just a possibility, but He's given us the liberality, the ability to have what we need as far as joy goes. And you notice that He says, my joy, right? We understand. I hope everybody understands the joy that we're talking about today. The source of the joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not anything else. But Christ's purpose was that our joy might be full, and that only comes through having the joy of the Lord. So one of the things that you find is, as we talk today, we interchangeably use the words joy and happy, right? So often. And they're very close, but there is a difference. I'm going to read you the definition of joy. We'll look at the definition of happiness so that we're not confusing the two. And you'll see sort of how they relate. So the word joy, when you look it up in Webster 28, says the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing what we love or we desire. Gladness, exultation, exhilaration of spirits. And so then, if you've ever read Webster 28, a lot of times at the bottom of the definition, it'll sort of clarify something for you, make it a little easier understood, and here's what it says. It says, joy is a delight of mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. So your joy is not related so much to your sensations. It's related to a possession.
Yep.
That's where joy comes from. You see, happiness, when you look it up, says this. It says the first thing it says, the agreeable sensations. You understand the difference. Happiness is sensations. They come, go, come, go, come, go. You might be happy now. 2 minutes from now, you may not be happy anymore. It's all based on circumstances. So he says, the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good. So joy is related to the possession of good.
Yes.
But happiness is related to enjoying that good. So see how closely related they are, but yet they're different. The enjoyment of the good, that state of being in which his desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasure without pain. You notice the attachment to circumstance? It has to be pleasure without pain. It can't be mixed up. You can't be happy and be in pain at the same time. That's what he's saying. He's saying to a person distressed with pain, relief from that pain does what? Affords happiness. So perfect happiness, once again, this was real good. It said perfect happiness or pleasure, unalloyed, that means unmixed with pain, is not attainable in this life. So that says to every one of us that, man, we can be happy and we can be not so happy, but perfect happiness, as defined,
go ahead,
is unachievable in this life.
That's right. Guarantee it.
So I don't know if you've ever been excited, real excited about something, and you think, when I do that or get that or am involved in that, that's going to be the bomb, right?
Yeah.
Can I use that word? That's what we used to say. Man, that'd be the bomb. And then when you get to that point and you get it, what does it do to you?
Go ahead.
It's never as good as what you thought, and you're let down.
Praise God. Go ahead.
Right? Now, I'm talking about worldly things, right?
Yep.
Jesus Christ will absolutely never let you down.
Hey.
And now I may or may not be happy. I may come in here and, Jesse, I may be happy and I may not. It's all based on my circumstance. If I come in here and I can't breathe because my nose is stopped up and I didn't sleep all night, guess what? I'm probably not going to be happy.
Right.
But there's something down in my heart that you cannot take no matter what the circumstances are, and that is the joy of the Lord. And so, because that's not based on my circumstance, But my joy is based on a possession that I have. And that possession is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the fact not, I've already got him, but I'm also going to get him one day. You see, I've already acquired him, and I'm going to acquire him. There's going to be a day that I'm going to see him as he is. And so that's the joy down in my soul. You see, I have joy in lots of things. Now, no joy compares with the joy of the Lord. But it's okay to have joy. Joy is in a possession. You understand what I'm saying? So I have joy in my family. Honey, our family's not always happy, though, is it? That's all right. That's true. Yours ain't either. There's times, there's moments where we're not happy. But you give me just a little bit of time and you start talking about my wife or my son or my daughter and reminding me of them, even if they've been put out of my mind for a few minutes or a few hours, Brother Nathaniel, you start talking about how I love my wife or how my kids are in good health and how God has blessed me with some kids, you better believe there's joy in my heart that swells up. That's not talking about happiness. That's joy. It's because it's a possession. I have a family. The problem is that could be taken away tomorrow.
Yep.
I could lose that joy.
That's true.
I mean, I could lose it in a heartbeat. And that goes with any possession. You can have joy in any possession. But there's no joy like the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So, joy is very related to what you have. But I'm not talking so much about the things that we have. I'm talking about a person that we have. And so, what we notice, it said, joy is a delight of mind from the consideration of the present or the assured approaching possession of a good. And that good that we're talking about today is the Lord Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And so that's where our joy lies. And so if your joy is directly related to what you possess, it says, therefore the amount, this is my thought process, therefore the amount of your joy is directly related to the value of the thing that you possess. Would you agree that I'm going to give you an example. I got me a pair of new boots. I'm happy about my boots, okay? But that does not compare. I don't put near as much value. If I lose these boots tomorrow, I don't really care. I really don't. But if something was to happen to me in the Lord, I value that a lot. That's a different kind of joy. I'm trying to just let all this sink in. There's joy in all kinds of things. But the joy we're talking about is the joy of the Lord. And so your joy, I have a whole lot more joy in my family than I have in the possession of my boots.
Sure.
Why is that, Brother Jerry? It's because the value is a lot different to me. I value my family, Kevin.
Yep.
These boots. I mean, I'm glad to have them. But I don't really value them. They got no lasting value.
Nope.
They're going away one day. They're going in the garbage.
Right.
My family, I want to keep them around as long as I possibly can. And as much as I value my family, the greatest value is what? It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Folks, that's something of eternal value. And so what I find is, as I studied this word joy and the fullness thereof, it is all based on the value that I place on that good. Brother Rick, if I value something that I have really highly, I'm going to have more joy that I have that item. But if it's valued real low, but Kim, I ain't going to have much joy in that. This pencil right here, it's my possession. And it gives me joy, I guess, when I write my notes with it. But if I lost it today, Kevin, I ain't got any value in it. But my salvation, it's priceless. Priceless to me. I can't afford to lose that. I ain't going to lose it, but you understand what I'm saying. We're talking about fellowship. But joy, it comes from how we value the things that we have. And the value that you place in the Lord is not shown by the words that we say. How do I know, Brother Doug, how do I know, I'm going to use you because you're my friend, and I know you ain't going to get mad. How do I know that you value the Lord? How do I know that? Is it in what Doug says?
Go ahead, brother.
Brother Cliff, is it in what you say? How much you value the Lord? It's not.
Nope.
You can say all you want to.
Yes.
But if you walk out those doors back there and your life does not depict that you value the Lord, then it's meaningless.
Hey.
And what that tells me is that you really don't have joy.
You're right.
If there's no value in the possession that you have, then you can't have joy in it. So people are constantly wondering why they don't have any joy. Well, it's because the possession that they have, if they have it, they've got no value in it. That's why they're not here this morning. That's why Sunday night comes. Some of you won't be here. Some of you won't be here Wednesday night. I'm saying some of you, some of anybody, right? Hopefully all you all, this is Sunday school hour. Hope for every one of y'all be in church. But you see what I'm saying? There's going to be people that don't value the Lord enough to take time out of their day on a Sunday night or Wednesday night to come to church. Why is that? Because whatever they were doing, whatever they have at home, in their mind, is more valuable than the Lord Jesus. And I'm not here to try to hurt nobody. But I believe this is true, straight out of Scripture. And if you'll give me some time, I'll prove it. But your value on your possession is directly related to the joy that you have. And so if you don't place much value on your possession of the Lord Jesus, you've got no joy. That's just the truth of it.
Yep.
You see, this book that we're reading is about fellowship with Christ. And so if you have fellowship with Christ, that means you value Him, that you are investing time with Him, and your joy will be full based on that. If you have no fellowship with Him, then you don't value Him, and your joy is going to be real low.
Amen.
Is that simple enough?
Amen.
I feel like that's pretty simple. I may have overcomplicated it. I didn't mean to. I'm trying to break it down. So we need to esteem Him highly. We need to give Him the preeminence in our lives so that our lives will clearly reflect where our value is, and therefore will reflect the joy that we have on the inside. But they all go hand in hand. So, joy, as I said, is not based on circumstances, but it's based on what you value that you have in your possession and is opposed to happiness. Happiness is here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
But joy, you can't take joy without taking the possession that joy is in.
Amen.
Something about the Lord is you can't take Him away. So you can't take that joy. Amen. So anyway, so John 15, we already read the verse. I'll read it again. It said John 15:11. If you know your Bibles, you know that that is the scripture about, I find it interesting, Kevin, that these two go so closely together. But John 15, He said, I'm the vine. And ye are the branches. The whole passage in John 15 is all about doing what? Abiding in Him.
Yep.
Right? He said, basically, if you don't abide in Me, you're not worth anything. Our lives are pointless. They're useless. They're good for kindling. That's all it is. That's what it says. That's all you're good for if you don't abide in the vine. But then when you get down to verse 11, he talks about all that, Brother Rick, and he says this, right after all that talk, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Why does he put it right after he's talking about all that time of fellowship? Because where your fellowship is, that's where your value is. And if you're going to have fellowship and put value in that relationship, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have joy. Simple. That's simple, ain't it, Brother Stephen? Very simple. So it's directly related to our joy. And that's why verse 11 of chapter 15 of the book of John is there. He says, if you have fellowship with me, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have joy. The more fellowship you have, guess what? The more joy you're going to have. Real easy. So he, once again, he teaches that the source of our joy is him. He says, my joy. And he said, I want my joy to be in you. I want you to have what I got. That's what he's saying. I want you to have me. And the fullness all depends on how much you abide in the Lord. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fellowship. How much of your daily activity, your daily thoughts, your daily talk, right, your daily walk, your prayer time, your Bible time, your family time, how much of that is spent abiding in him? Abiding is more than saying hello. Right? The word abide, man, if Kevin said, hey, come abide with me, you know what I'd think he meant? He want me to come set up abode. Want me to come live with him. Hey, man, that's what I would think if that's what he said.
Sure.
What do you think the Lord meant? I think he meant the same thing, don't you? I want some time with you. He wants time with us, and as much as if he values our time, how much more valuable is his time to us?
Thank God.
Man, it's valuable. So if he's worth a lot to us, there's a better chance we will abide with him, isn't there? So he says here in 1 John, the verse that we're looking at, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be what? Full. And so what that tells me is that if it's a small word, but it means a lot. But if my joy can be full, then what can my joy also be? Not full, half full, quarter full, running on fumes. Right? It can be anywhere in between. Would you not agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, anytime you see a word like that, there's got to be an understanding that there's no full without what? Empty. There's no fast without slow. There's no tall without short.
Amen.
There's no infinity without nothing. You understand? All those things go together. Those opposites define one another. Right? That's how we define things. We understand this, and so our minds can grasp what the opposite is. That's why there's a heaven and there's a hell. That's why we can understand. Either perspective you understand, then whatever the opposite of that is, you know that's what the other one is. I mean, just you go down the list. So if you can be full, you can be empty.
Sure.
And everybody in here, the best thing I could point to that you know of is the gas gauge on your vehicle, right? There's times, and I hope yours works, but there's times it can be on full. But what happens if you're constantly depleting and never replenishing? And then you look, and all of a sudden you've got this light that starts flashing and says, hey, 25 miles to empty.
Yep, go ahead.
How many of you like to just keep going until the point where it just starts just saying, there's nothing left?
Yeah.
I bet you don't go too far like that. A lot of you won't even let it get down to a quarter tank. You say, I'm not getting stranded nowhere. Why aren't we not that way spiritually? Why, when our gauge starts going ding, 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 and the gas light starts flashing, why do we want to just see, How much longer can I go without going to church?
Go ahead.
How much longer can I go without reading my Bible? How much longer can I go without praying with my family? I mean, just go down the list. Does that make sense? Why do we do this? Am I the only person that goes through these crazy thoughts? But these are the things that go through my mind when I read Scripture. Man, Lord, this is hitting home right here. I can be full so I can be empty. And I don't want to share with you where I fall a lot of times. But I venture to say that, like me, very few of you in here are constantly running on full. You know what I like? I would love for my vehicle, every time I get into it, you know, it's got them little lines that says empty and full. I like it when I get in it and it's passed. Does your vehicle do that? I like it when I look at it and my wife's been in my truck and she's had to fill it up and she's got it come over past the line. I say, praise the Lord, I ain't got to stop and get gas today. I can go. That's the way we ought to be spiritually. We ought to take a break to go deplete our tanks and invest that in somebody else, in something else, for the cause of Christ, obviously. And as soon as we see that thing starts moving, we ought to go fuel back up. And stay on full, beyond full, all the time. You ever look at a glass of water? My son learned this just, I don't know, it's been a few weeks ago. I don't remember what it was. No, it wasn't water. In this case, it was a Coke. And I had a glass, and I poured that Coke in that thing. And I just wanted to see, Kevin, absolutely how high I could get that thing to foam. Because Eli was watching it. And I wanted to show him you can get over full. And it'll still hold some. It's beyond the top.
Yep.
It's so much that it could deplete a little bit, Brother Adam, and it'd still be full. I want my spiritual life to be that way. So that foam, you know, it got up there about this high and it still wasn't running over. And Eli's just, you know, his eyes are like, Dad, how are you doing that? You know, I wish everybody look at my spiritual life, Nathaniel, and say, I don't know how you stay so joyful. But I'd sure like to have that. Wouldn't that be good for every believer in here to have such fullness of joy that it was overflowing? I like it when I pour it at him and you look at it and you can feel it fizzing up and hitting you in the face. You know what I'm talking about? If you're close, it's splashing on you. Y'all think, man, he's crazy, but this is the way my mind works, Jesse. Like, Lord, why can't my joy be like that? Even a glass of water. You pour a glass of water. How many of you ever done it? Keep pouring it until it's full, it's leveled off. Then you add a little bit, another drop. Another drop. Another drop. And then all of a sudden you'll look. And what'll it do? It'll be like this. I believe we can do that too. Spiritually. I believe we can. And I believe we should.
Yep.
I'll go as far to say I believe we should fill ourselves up with the Lord to the point that we are overflowing and that people can't get around us without it getting on them.
Yeah, brother, praise God.
That's what we ought to be. Now, I'm not saying any of us in here are like that. Maybe you are. I know one or two of you probably are because I've been around you. But for the normal of us, that's probably not the case. Brother Kim, sometimes I'm looking to get around somebody that's like that because I'm missing that in my life. And so, man, I just want to get around somebody that they don't have to say nothing. They don't have to do anything particular, but it just leaps off of them just because they're being who they are. And they are who they are because they've been with who they've been with. They've got the joy of the Lord down on the inside. So, interestingly enough, chapter 1, verse 4, we find the word joy You know how many times we find it the rest of the book? Joy, rejoice, anything like that. You know how many times it's in the rest of the book, Kevin? Goose egg. Now, don't you think if the purpose of the book is that we ought to have joy, that you would think that he would mention that a little more, wouldn't you? He don't. Why is that? I think it's so closely related to our fellowship that he didn't have to mention it again.
Oh my, what about that?
The rest of the book, he says, if I can get you to have fellowship, I don't even have to mention joy again. If you will get your fellowship right, joy automatically comes. You can't have one and not have the other. I thought, man, that's so good. The Lord does stuff like that. And I appreciate it showing little things like that to us. It is mentioned once in 2 John, mentioned once in 3 John. And it's just, he's happy that his children walk in truth. He gets joy out of that. But it's not mentioned again in this book. And so everything going forward as we progress through the book of 1 John is going to be related to joy, even though it's not mentioned. So every time we talk about fellowship, every time we talk about getting our sins corrected, every time we talk about loving our brethren, every time we mention any of those things, if you will get them right, if I will get them right in my life, guess what it'll do for us? It'll help our joy. It'll help our joy. How many in here want to be joyful? Y'all like walking around sour? I don't. Not interested in it. I have no interest in it. I want to be happy. And happy comes because I've got joy down in my heart. And then so those sensations come afterwards. They overflow. So be very careful what you place value in. Because what you value is directly related to your joy. And so, you know, if you place something of real high value, if that gets taken out of your life, what's going to happen to your joy? It's going to be hindered. And so you have to ask yourself the question, when you're valuing what you have, what is worth me valuing? The Lord, obviously, should be one. I think it goes without saying, your family should be valued. Is it going to hurt if you lose your family? Absolutely. It's worth the risk. But this is just a warning. Don't value a car. Don't value sports. Don't value anything like that that can be taken in an instant. Because if you do, then the instant it's gone, you've instantly lost your joy.
You're right.
And the problem is that you get any of those things up in preeminence above Christ, and you value those things higher than your relationship with Him, then as soon as you lose those things, you just lost everything. And I don't venture to think anybody wants to go down that road. And that's a miserable way to live life. But you're typically willing to invest in the things that you value. You value your retirement, guess what you invest in? Your retirement. You value music, you're willing to invest in music. You value the Bible, you're willing to invest time in the Bible. You value your relationship with the Lord, guess what you'll do? You'll invest your time, your talents, your treasures in the Lord. And so I'll end with this today. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21 and Luke 12:34, said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I want to invest in the Lord, don't you? I want my joy to be full. And I appreciate everybody's good attention.